week, and thank you, Helen. Ruth has asked me to give a few concluding thoughts on chapter 16. So if I were to give a title to chapter 16, I would call it The Unexpected Gospel. The chapter begins with the Holy Spirit in a dream unexpectedly redirecting Paul from what we now call Turkey to Macedonia. So he sets off with his companions 400 miles west across the Aegean Sea to Philippi, which is the main city in Macedonia. So on the way, he must have been expecting something really significant to be about to happen. And he passes through a number of cities and nothing is recorded as happening. Then he arrives at Philippi. Well, Philippi, in spiritual terms, is a one-horse town. There's a very small Jewish community without a synagogue. And traditionally, as you've heard, it only needed 10 or 12 men to establish a synagogue. They're mainly ladies, and they meet in a place called a prosequa, which in ancient times was a prayer house or a prayer place, not exclusively for Jewish people, but people from any and every religion to meet. And this one was convenient because it was outside the city and it was next to a river, and Jewish people had to carry out certain ritual washing before they prayed and worshipped. So unexpectedly, we find no immediate response to the message from the Jewish community. Instead, the response comes from Lydia, who's a Gentile businesswoman. She opens up her heart to the gospel. And she offers Paul to stay in her home, and Paul accepts the offer and sticks around. Unexpectedly, on a return visit to the prosequa, a possessed fortune-telling slave latches onto him and starts shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Well, after a number of days of that going on, Paul becomes very frustrated with this unwanted groupie, and he loses his temper and casts the spirit out. So this lands him in hot water, and the owner is now unable to make money out of her fortune-telling abilities, drag him and Silas before the authorities and say, "Well, these guys are troublemakers. And they need to be sorted out." And they are sorted out. They're whipped and thrown in jail. And unexpectedly, an earthquake shakes the prison and the prison doors open. Well, Peter, as we know, would have probably run at that point, but Paul and Silas stay and they say to the jailer, "Look, we're all here. We haven't run off." And that's a good thing, because the jailer was about to kill himself, because in those days, if a jailer allowed prisoners to escape, that was a capital offence, and he would have been put to death in a very cruel and nasty way. So he responds to the gospel because of that, and so does the rest of his family, and he's offered hospitality. So then Paul's released the following day. And he plays the "Hey, did you know I was a Roman citizen" card, and they're all shaken by that, because he's not been offered a trial, and the governor, if he gets to hear this, will do something very nasty to the authorities. So they humble pie him and they placate him, and eventually he leaves. So the passage, it's full of unexpected twists and turns. And if you were to read that for the first time, you'd probably think, well, that's pretty random, isn't it? I mean, where's the strategy? You know, where's the methodology here? Where's the three-point sermon? And you don't find it. So how do we make sense of chapter 16? Well, we have to remember that Luke wrote the book of Acts. But before Luke, he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And he begins Acts by saying, in my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. So what this is suggesting to me is that the Acts is about what Jesus continued to do through the apostles, who were then following the instructions that he had given, which were recorded in the book of Luke. So let's do a bit of a rewind to the Gospel of Luke and see what Jesus' instructions are. Well, the best set you'll find in Luke 9 and Luke 10. And this is a passage where Jesus sends the apostles out into the villages in order to evangelize. And he gives them instructions. So what does he say to them? In modern language, number one, I'm going to give you some general directions and a task. Number two, use teamwork. Do it together in twos or more. Three, travel light. Watch that your assets don't delay or divert you. Four, rely on the responsiveness to the message and hospitality that you're offered to guide you as to where you should be staying and applying your efforts for greater fruit and greater return. Fifthly, if you get rejected, move on. Don't waste your time and efforts banging on at people and situations that just don't respond, don't bear fruit. Move on, find somewhere that does respond. And sixthly, rely on God and his supernatural provision to verify that message and to provide for you and to guide you. Okay, so we got those 6 points. So how good an overlay is that on Acts 16? I think it's a pretty good fit, because once you understand that they were following those instructions, you see that the pattern was falling into place. But I think it says something else. I think Acts 16 is the Holy Spirit really being quite shouty and saying, look, the instructions that Jesus gave, you know, they use them, they work. But sometimes it's not going to come when and where you're expecting it. Sometimes the gospel is going to do some unexpected stuff. And there's nothing new in God's agenda about gearing things to fruitfulness. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 55. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And if you look again at Luke, these points are made again and again by Jesus in the parables. I'll just give you a couple. Chapter 13, the parable of the fig tree. What's the message? Well, if something doesn't bear fruit, you cut it down, because it's taking up space for something that could be fruitful. Without fruit, it's just a waste of time. It's a waste of effort. At Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. The gospel's broadcast, but not every seed is going to grow up and bear fruit. Some of it is, but only that which falls on good soil. So God is everywhere, but he's not working equally everywhere. People don't respond to him equally everywhere. So in that context, let's think, well, what is LBC going to look like? And what is it going to be doing after COVID-19? What is the new normal going to be? Is it just going to be the same old normal? Or is there going to be something new? Well, I'm just thinking back to some things which we've been told in earlier in earlier Sundays. Remember that message that Rob Philgate, the Canadian pastor from Mount Zion in Cardigan, brought to us a few weeks ago. What did he say? He said, the church does not have a mission. The church does not have a mission. God has the mission, and he has a church to carry it out. Now, that's a bit of a paradigm shift. And one of his fellow Canadians, an author called Henry T. Blackaby, who you may have heard of, put it this way. We don't choose what we do for God. He invites us to join him where he wants to involve us. And remember what Chris Collins brought a week ago. He said that God brings revival in some unexpected places. You know, you mentioned the traveler communities. We see it in amongst prisoners. We see it in the African and Afro-Caribbean diaspora. And in his church, surprisingly, it's among Asian ladies. And I think Acts 16 really is giving us this same message. And God may be speaking to us again and again and again in different ways and saying, look, the instructions of Jesus, they work, you know, use them. But they're going to produce some unexpected results in some unexpected places at some unexpected times. So where does God want LBC to join him in his mission after COVID-19? Well, I don't know. I think we all have to work that out prayerfully. But we do have to remember Acts 16 only tells part of the story of Acts 16. Lydia had her own story, and the jailer had his story about how God had been working in their lives and what their story was before they met Paul and became part of Paul's story. And I know that there are people out there now whose lives God is currently working in. Seekers, skeptics, and prodigals. And I know that God has a plan to join your life with their life so that their story becomes your story. Deep down, they are looking for something. They are looking for something, but they just haven't seen it yet. And what's that something they're looking for? It's the amazing grace of God. And it could just be that God has an appointment in mind for you to tell them all about it. They're looking for something, but they just haven't seen it yet. So now we'd like to play for you a song by Danny Gokey, and I hope it'll just give us an opportunity of reflecting a bit on that thought.